Hey, it's Monday's podcast, a great one for you. We talk a little bit about COVID and the uprising in California. I mean, dude, when they're like harshing my mellow by telling me I can't like eat outdoors, that's when I get really pissed. There is an uprising from regular people that have had enough. We talk about that. Also, what's up with the Drudge Report? Is Matt Drudge, is he even around anymore? Did he sell it? And some good news from Blaze Media on that subject. We also talk a little bit about Georgia and what's coming our way in Georgia and what the president did in Georgia on Saturday night.
You brought up something interesting there about the Blaze. Is there any way to subscribe to a service like this that would help?
Yeah, well, like this?
Yeah.
Sure. Go to blazetv.com/Glenn.
Okay, yeah, but I would want it to get like at least $30 off of the price.
Oh my gosh, that's what it is right now. $30 off. What a coincidence. $30 off now. Just use the promo code Glenn.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
The Seattle City Council has decided that they're going to push through legislation to provide an exemption from prosecution for misdemeanor crimes for any citizen who suffers from poverty. So if you are suffering from poverty, homelessness, addiction, or mental illness, the courts will dismiss all crimes of poverty, which are these: theft, assault, harassment, drug possession, property destruction, and indecent exposure. So if you're homeless, you can now do all those things, which, by the way, is 72% of all reported crime in Seattle. So those aren't going to be illegal. So, but if you have a wealthy person that, you know, breaks into your house to try to steal your TV, he's going to jail. He'll go to jail.
But that is not how our society operates.
Like, what are you talking about?
Get a free get out of jail pass just because you don't have a lot of money.
No, this is going to work out really well for Seattle.
They're basically creating an entire entire subgroup of people who are immune from prosecution of crimes.
Do you know why they're doing this? Take a guess why they're doing this.
They're all crazy Marxists.
Okay.
Is that a good guess?
Yes.
Did I get it right?
Let's take it. Let's peel another layer off this onion. Mm-hmm. Okay. They're doing it because the crazy Marxists are trying to starve the justice system. So what they're saying is 72% of all crime that has to be processed through the court system is misdemeanor like this. So if we make those things not illegal, there's not going to be anybody in the courthouse, so we can cut the funding of the courts because the courts are just sending people to prison and the courts are the problem. There is no justice.
It's another defund movement, essentially.
It's another defund, just in a different way. Mm. I mean, who doesn't want to live in Seattle now?
We did that. Remember we did that documentary we talked about, Seattle is Dying, I think it was called?
Yeah.
Remember this?
Yeah.
And the society is already teetering on the edge of oblivion. And then you had this last year where with all the Antifa rioting and the autonomous zones and such. Mm-hmm. And then you add this on top of it.
I mean, I'd say you got nothing left. You got nothing left. Well, you have Pike Place Market. You'll be shivved on your way down to see it with your family, but you still have that and the Space Needle that you can see from the distance. As long as you're in like the Pope Mobile, it's going to be great.
My favorite part of the Space Needle is the beautiful orange glow you see at the bottom of it at night. The fires lit at the bottom. They're glowing up to the bottom of the safety.
Beautiful.
From a distance, it looks amazing.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And you can't burn metal. Steel doesn't melt.
That's true.
Okay. Now that Pat is in, I want to ask you guys your opinion on Sports Illustrated Person of the Year. LeBron James,
oh.
Breanna Stewart, The Chiefs quarterback, Patrick Mahomes.
Ah, yes. Mm-hmm.
Naomi Osaka.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, love
Naomi. Laurent Duvernay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tardif?
Tardif. Mm-hmm.
Tardif. Okay, good, good, good. Mm-hmm. Champions on the field and champions for others off it.
Yeah, the activist athlete is the person of the year for Sports Illustrated. I think that's so inspiring. So great.
And let's award the person of the year to the thing that every sports fan hates.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And they did. And they did.
So it's not even a person. It's all of them. It's all of
them. Is Mahomes an activist athlete?
I've never thought of him like that.
No, I don't think so.
No. Yeah. He's a great quarterback, and he deserves it because he's really, you know, amazing. And he's got a $500 million contract.
And he's my neighbor.
And he's your neighbor. That's right. He's a Texas guy.
So is he really? I didn't know Mahomes lived here.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's
cool. If he's in my neighborhood, I mean, I know my neighbors know where all the liberals live. And they said, there's three of them in this complex. I mean, they literally said, there's three of them that live in this complex. So I don't think Mahomes is one of them.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know anything about his politics, which is great. I feel great about that.
He's not in our face all the time like LeBron James is. So it's hard to say whether or not, because, I mean, he does whatever it is he's doing that they think is so activist is being done fairly
well. He
quietly.
Might be an activist on something that, you know, we like.
Yeah, he might.
But the press doesn't like it, so they never cover it.
Right.
I don't know. The last thing on sports, and then we'll move off of this, is the Vanderbilt players that were crying during Sarah Fuller's 30-yard kick. I don't know, because I don't know if this is being sarcastic, or were they crying because they're like, dear God Almighty.
I wish it
30
was that.
Yards.
What a terrible kick. You think they may have been sobbing because it was a bad kick.
Or I mean, it's written that they were sobbing because finally a woman gets a chance. No, she got a chance because of COVID, right?
Yeah, yes. It was a COVID situation. She didn't. Yes. They gave her a squib kick intentionally, obviously, so she didn't have to show how far she could kick it. And then
why would you do that to?
Right.
Would you do the first woman to do it?
And you're like, kick it onside, kick it 4 yards. It doesn't make any sense. If she could actually kick it to the end zone, they would have had her show off how amazing she was and how women could do everything equally.
And they acted like she won the game. They lost 41-0. Did one kick.
Yeah, right.
One, and it went 22 yards.
Does that not isn't that evidence that I guess they were so bad in the game that they didn't have any other kickoffs? But then as soon as she kicks the ball, she just runs off the field. Which,
exactly.
By the way, thank God. So she wasn't murdered while she was on the field because everyone
was
three times
her size.
She was
running to get the Heisman Trophy, wasn't she?
She should get it. Yeah.
They gave her Special Teams Player of the Week in the SEC. Special Teams Player of the Week. Are you kidding me?
How do they mean special teams?
For
like Special Olympics? I mean,
I don't know.
I mean,
I doubt it.
It's really bad. I mean, if you're going to celebrate this girl who played for the first time in a Power 5 football
game. That's fine.
That's great, but she better play in the game. She swung her leg and bumped it into a football once.
Or, you know, here's
come on.
This is how it should be reported. For the first time a woman played I don't even know, male-dominated sport or male-only sport.
She's not
whatever.
Even the first woman to play in the male-dominated sport.
She's just the first one to play in a
particular
big-time
conference.
College football game.
Okay,
like
so
this.
The first one to play in a major football conference game,
mm-hmm.
and she kicked 30 yards.
Maybe.
She had to do a squid.
Squib.
Squib. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Mm-hmm. That's it.
That's
it. I mean, great. That's it. Why is this so celebrated? We have lost perspective
completely
on everything.
Yep.
On everything.
It's one thing to say it, you know, you have to make it notable. Okay, hey, by the way, this is the first time this ever happened. That's interesting. But
it
like
is.
To award her something over someone else who actually achieved
mm-hmm.
something. Like mm-hmm. she had a normal squib kick, which again, they wouldn't have done in the situation they did it. There'd be no reason to do this. But still, it is something that happens. A male kicker has done a similar thing, right? So, okay, it's the first woman. To give her special teams player of the week, to put her as person of the year, whatever they're going to give her at the end of this, it's ridiculous, right? Like, there are people who actually achieve something in that, it is the ultimate participation trophy. She is getting a trophy for participating.
And you should have seen, you don't follow college football that much, right? But they celebrated her on every college football broadcast over the weekend. It was unbearable. And the tinkly piano music and all of that stuff.
I'm so sick and tired of hearing how women just can't make it. Our internet went out at the house over the weekend.
How'd you survive? And people are complaining about things.
I know.
I'm going to give you guys heroes of the weekend.
Thank you. So we actually had to watch regular television.
No.
They still have that?
Apparently they do. Mm-hmm. Have you
watched
it? With
commercials and everything?
Have you watched it in a while?
Not really. No,
I haven't either. Mm-mm. Go back and watch. It's like so incredibly frustrating. You're like, dear God, how did we were living like animals
with all the commercials.
Yeah. So we're forced to watch anything. So we're watching Working Girl, which I had never seen before. Not that great. Yeah. Think way back, mm-hmm. like in the 80s, I think. Way back.
Okay.
Harrison Ford was like 40. So anyway, we're watching it and it gets to the end, and the ending is just, hey, she's got her own office in a big New York firm.
I mean, spoiler alert, first of all. Jeez.
Yeah, sorry.
I mean,
yeah,
I was going to watch it this weekend.
And Soylent Green is people.
What?
So that's the big deal. At the end,
right.
She has her own office and she's calling. She's like, guess where I am? Where? You're in your office. This is not a big deal. You got an office in New York City in a big firm. Not a big deal. But I thought 40 years ago.
You could make the argument, right?
You could make the argument. This is a big deal. But now we just elected the first female vice president, or just selected the first female vice president. And nobody even, when she was up giving the speech, you know, and you know, people were honking their horns like she was a drive-in movie theater. And she's giving this speech and she's like, only in America, this is what can happen. And I'm thinking, first of all, you hate America. And what the hell are you talking about? Mm-hmm. And then I realize, oh, because she's a woman, nobody even cares. Nobody even cares anymore. It's not that big of a deal. We've moved past it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, women can work. What? Women can make decisions. What? They can run companies. That's absurd, man. No, it's not. That's the way it is.
And the left is so consistent on this. Don't you remember them celebrating the nomination of Sarah Palin? To be the first, what would have been the first vice president if they had worked.
Well, think about how they've supported, I mean, and really against their own best interest, how they've supported every African-American that has been elected as a Republican.
Oh, my gosh. They love that. I mean, when, you know, Herman Cain led the presidential race for a while, and was it 2012? Yeah. And
they loved him.
They loved him. They
look
praised
how much
him.
They still
and then they
love Justice Thomas. They love him.
Oh, and all of the Republicans that have been elected to Congress, all of those women,
they love them. They're currently in love with Kelly Loeffler in Georgia. Love her. They keep saying, wow, what a groundbreaking.
What a brave woman she is.
Ceiling, guys. Yeah. That's all I hear when I hear the coverage.
Woman. I am so sick and tired of hearing how brave people are. like this woman kicker. Oh, she's brave. She deserves the award because, I mean, she's brave. She went out there.
She ran off the field immediately.
She's getting all the accolades. It's not brave. I love this. Rock and roll has lost its soul so much that Eric Clapton is being shamed because he's going to sing a, you know, break the rules song. Isn't that what rock and roll does?
Used to be. I wish I took a screenshot of this. I was looking at some mainstream news source the other day. Two headlines directly next to each other. No irony, like just directly next to each other. Headline number one. Joe Biden is forming the most diverse cabinet ever. Headline number two, Joe Biden names all female communications team. Is it the most diverse cabinet ever if it's all females? The opposite of diversity?
Well, it would be if we could mention that some of them used to be males.
Ah, but we can't.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
There's a great story in American Greatness about Dave Morris. Dave Morris was fed up. As a gainfully employed television news reporter, aired a live segment outside of a small cafe to tell viewers that Morris was keeping his business open despite a government order to close it. The Michigan restaurant order confronted him. The Kalamazoo Health Department had issued a warning to Morris on December 1st for allowing indoor dining against the wishes of the great governor, Gretchen Whitmer. Bring me the broomstick. Anyway, he was instructed to shut down his business immediately or face a fine imposed by the government. The local journalist was on the scene. However, he was on the scene to tattle. Morris told the reporter, "Everyone needs to stand up. This isn't an order. This is tyranny. Wake up. Stand up. This is America. We're supposed to be free." The reporter later tweeted about his own bravery in the face of an angry business owner who kept interrupting him. Morris, who has owned DNR's Daily Grind Cafe for 12 years, says he lost $100,000 in business this year and is going broke. And he said, quote, "I can't go down quietly. I can go down quietly, or I can go down making some noise so people understand what's going on. I choose to go down making noise." But this is America, year 2020. You don't have power anymore. Why? Because you won't stand. Because you're allowing bullies to bully you. And I'm not talking about you in particular. I'm talking about America. America has always... This is December 7th. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. December 7th, we declared war on tyranny. We declared war on Japan, and because we did that, Germany declared war on us. And so we went to war against fascism, communism, Nazism, authoritarianism, any of these isms. It started on December 7th. Your public school isn't good enough for your kids, but you can't afford anything else. Shut up and take it. If you want your kids in a good school, you have to pay all kinds of property taxes to fund it. We pay more in funding of our schools than any other country in the history of the world, and yet they're failing our children. Shut up. You want to keep your business open so you can pay your bills, pay your employees? Shut up and take it. You want to go outside without a contaminated face cloth covering your mouth and your nose? Shut up. You want to gather the family together for your every year since you were born Christmas for dinner? Shut up. You want to have your vote count in the most consequential presidential election in modern history? Shut up.
The politicians, the academics, the reporters, the experts that are now controlling every intimate aspect of our life, they're not totally to blame. There's fear. Fear over a virus that most Americans will find harmless. We've surrendered our basic rights to comply with the with quackery from Gavin Newsom. We're giving awards to Governor Cuomo. Neighbors are turning each other in. Families aren't talking to each other. Free enterprise is paralyzed. Criticism is in ICU. This is how authoritarian states begin. What's next? Your personhood paper in the form of a COVID-19 immunization report that shows you're in good standing with the state? It doesn't matter how many times the ruling class has misled us, intentionally, purposefully, unintentionally, no apology. They scream about the almighty data, and then they go out themselves without masks. They go themselves to restaurants. They violate their own rules. And yet we're called grandma killers. How many kids have to suffer? How many kids have to feel alone? How many kids have to go through depression? How many kids' lives have to be destroyed before we say enough? Enough of this. How many special needs students or low-income children that'll fall further and further behind? How many before we say enough? You didn't go to college because you couldn't afford it. Or you went to college and you've spent decades paying it off. And now you're working to pay for your children's college. And they just want to throw money at anybody who just was, they were not old enough to really understand the decision of taking out that much money. Really? At 18, at 20, you're not seasoned enough to go and borrow money. But at 8, you can choose your sex. Shut up. Shut up if you disagree. Stand up. This is happening because we don't stand up and stand together. They've kept us divided when most of us agree on common sense. They have made COVID political so they could keep us divided. None of us want grandma and grandpa to die. None of us. But 99% of the population is going to get through COVID. 99%. Let's protect those that are most vulnerable. That's the way the world has always done it. I want to read an email that I got over the weekend. And I want to read this to you. And I want you to know I understand what this individual is saying, and there is no hard feelings or anything toward this individual at all. I completely understand. Glenn, I just listened to Nancy Pelosi's press conference as to why the $900 billion bill is sufficient. The left is also already claiming Biden is responsible for the vaccine. I'm 100% agreement with you. I listen every day. I'm a Blaze subscriber. But as a loyal conservative, I feel I have to tell you this. I just canceled my Blaze subscription because I feel my business has already been targeted because of it. I'm not on social media. I only watch you on your app. I've requested for Google to update my company information in the past 6 months. I never receive a response. I'm going to lose business without Google. I have to utilize their listing. Now, let me just op-ed here. I don't think that's what's happening with Google, but he probably knows more than I do on his situation. I hate canceling my subscription because it's going to mean money taken away from the research that you do to be able to tell the truth. I'll continue to listen to you on the radio and I'll look for you on YouTube, but I just need to lay low. I feel we're defeated. I don't believe a broken system will bring justice. However, I am a conservative. I just have to be in camouflage right now. When the time comes for us to regain our country, I'm 150% all in. I'm angry all the time right now. It makes me furious to watch our country hijacked by socialists, real racists, and communists. When there's a call for action, I'll be there, and I'd be willing to lay my life down for my family. But I need to focus on God. I wanted you to know why I canceled my subscriptions. I'll still be listening to you on the radio. I'm not going to read his name because I don't want him to feel like I'm singling him out at all, because I completely understand what he's saying. The reason why I am reading this is because he's made a decision. Have you? I told you this last week. It's only going to get tougher from here. And you're either in or you're out. And I can understand, and I will never belittle anybody for either choice that they make. I understand it. But it's not going to be easier. And it, quite honestly, is the peril goes up. The minute you start to hide what you believe, the minute you start unplugging from that, and you're not actively pursuing those things, they begin to deteriorate. You will be forced to do more and more things that you disagree with. And because of that, you have a real danger of losing yourself. But I understand if that's the course you have to take. Everybody has to make their own decision. But I want to tell those who are in the fight and are willing to be open and have their name known, you're not alone. We are not defeated. We are only defeated when we allow fear to rule our world. I have to tell you, there are many days that I am afraid for our company. There are many days that I'm afraid for my job. There are many days that I'm afraid for my life. There are many days that I fear for my children. But I know what we're fighting is evil. It is bringing despair and destruction. It will bring poverty. It will bring, and already has brought, hopelessness. It is teaching our children that nothing is worth living for. It is teaching our children now that they're not worthy. It is teaching our children and our own friends that you're nothing unless you have an axe to grind. It's evil. And you cannot coexist with evil. It's either light or dark. And you cannot stand in the shadows. I believe that we are entering a very spiritually important time. And there's not going to be anybody that's going to be allowed to eat at the edges. You're going to either be forced to be in, or you're out. Today's the day you need to make your decision. December 7th, a date that will live in infamy. Join us at blazetv.com/Glenn. Promo code Glenn. This is the best of the Glenn Beck program, and we really want to thank you for listening. Rob Eno is our Blaze TV media critic. I don't know how much we pay him, but it's not enough to have to watch the mainstream media and all of the media and figure out what's going on. Hi, Rob. How are you?
Hey, pretty good. Thanks for having me on.
Good. I thought we would start with some good news. You know, a friend of mine said to me once when I was really being kicked and we were down, he said, I've told some people that were bashing you that they probably should stop that because I've watched you long enough. And whenever everyone says you're down, that's when you get back up and you crush it. And we've been doing that with this radio show, our television show. And let's get a real quick good news on Blaze TV and Blaze.
Yeah, Blaze Media. I mean, Blaze Media's podcast network is one of the top 20 podcast networks in the country now. And that, you know, all kinds of different things. That's, you know, people that do the media stuff. Mm-hmm. That's the big guys, multi-billion dollar companies that, you know, run media companies. And then, you know, I've been told by our executives, we are the largest right of center subscription video on demand company.
We are.
In the world.
Yeah, we are. In the world.
In the world, not just in the United States, in the world.
That is phenomenal.
And we should point out that a good chunk of Rob's job is looking to buy every single pen in America that Nancy Pelosi sucks can be printed on.
They have you doing that?
Yeah.
Yeah. They have you doing that?
I do that
as
well.
That's despicable. That's disgraceful.
We have basically found every blank of that pen in the world. So if you can't buy one for Christmas, you can blame Stu.
The Nancy Pelosi sucks pen has been, it started as a joke.
Yeah.
It was a joke thinking nobody's going to buy this. You can't, literally, every pen in the world that looks like this has been purchased and is out of production and now sold.
Mm-hmm. This is true.
No, this is not me lying. This is
China can't make them. China can't make them.
It's amazing. It's a real hole in the market. That's why we did, by the way, put Nancy Pelosi sucks, the same signature, on t-shirts now. And very classy mugs. If you want to drink a nice, warm, hot beverage out of a mug that says Nancy Pelosi sucks all over it in the most classy way possible, I advise you to go to studosmerch.com or the Blaze Media Store. There's tons of great stuff up there for
now,
Christmas.
Now, a little less classy is the blow dry my hair mug.
You can get those too.
That's a big one.
That's not exactly what it says, but
it talks
it's
about
like that.
Getting your hair blown dry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, yeah, that mug is also available
with Nancy Pelosi's
with Nancy
face
Pelosi's
and the shirt
face.
And the yeah.
It's a Sabo a piece of art that is just fantastic.
Great.
Get it at shop.theblaze.whatever.
Shop.blazemedia.com.
Thank you. Who knows?
The guy who actually knows the address over
here. I know.
Okay.
Okay. So we have something exciting. Before we get into the Drudge Report, we also have something exciting to report today. A hard launch now on something we've been working on behind the scenes for a while.
I'm probably going to get in trouble for calling it a hard launch. We're working on it. Hard launching it because it's on national radio.
Yeah, it's on the show. Hope the servers are working.
ConservativeReview.com, which was with CRTV when we came over and merged with The Blaze a few years ago, is being repurposed. We always wanted it to be a review of conservatism.
Right.
That's what the name Conservative Review was. And now it's an aggregator. It's like the Drudge Report. I look at it every morning. We've been running it this way for a few months. I look at it every morning. It's got a bunch of stories from around the conservative web.
Yeah.
So we're aggregating all of our friends, and you can see it all in one place, and you can get to their stories. And if you've got a limited amount of time, it's a great place to look, and it's updated. We'll talk about Drudge and how he's not being updated a lot anymore. We update it more than Drudge does.
Well, Drudge, and that's what I want to get into. Everybody is asking me, what the hell happened to Drudge?
It's an interesting story. I mean, Armin Rosen over at Tablet Magazine, you can go to Tablet Magazine and find the story, did a really deep dive on this, Glenn. He talked to a lot of people. If you remember when Drudge launched the Monica Lewinsky thing, one of the people that was influential in that was Lucianne Goldberg. Mm-hmm. And she's even said, I don't know what's happened. It's obviously not the same thing. I don't know mm-hmm. if Matt's running it. I haven't talked to him. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's a lot of that sort of thing going on. But when you look at what's happened to Drudge, there's a few things. It's certainly not a super conservative site anymore, right? It's not like it was in the 2000s.
It's not even a conservative site.
In the early 2010s, it's not that anymore. I mean, he was a cheerleader for Donald Trump, right?
Completely
turned. So there's people that think, did he sell? And there's a couple of things you can look at. There's this couple, Margaret and Adrian Otto, out in Mountain View, California. Adrian actually worked for Google, which you can tell mm-hmm. from Mountain View, California. And they've run the servers for the Drudge Report for years. They used to run, I don't know if you knew, but Matt's dad, Bob Drudge, had this site, RefDesk, that Colin Powell in the 90s said, this is the site I go to every day. It was a really neat site. It had a bunch of links to media sources.
Oh, wow.
You can get like the AP photos of the day, but it was all in one place. And they bought this website off of Bob Drudge a few years ago. So there's people that think that maybe they took it over from Drudge. And there's people that think that maybe Drudge is just, you know, someone that's done with this, that he's a chaos agent. He's done with this and he's not really running it anymore. But there's a few, I'm not sure if a liberal billionaire has bought Drudge. Or if there's just people running it and he's trying to be a chaos agent and he was trying to sow division during this election cycle.
Wait, but that is not, I mean, that doesn't make sense with the Matt Drudge that I know that used to believe things. Now, I know he moved over to Germany. Is he still over in Germany?
That I don't know. Last I knew he was in Miami. So
he's
maybe
become like Citizen Kane.
He's a world traveler. You know what I mean? He's got himself, you know, back. But there's been some changes at the Drudge Report on the back end. So not just what you're seeing, right? I don't know if a lot of your listeners know, but Andrew Breitbart used to run Drudge a lot. Like he had ADD. He would stay up like he would never sleep, and he would run Drudge on nights and sometimes on the weekends. And one of the things, I talked to Andrew once. I had him for an event in Massachusetts that I was sponsoring. And I talked to him as I picked him up at the airport. And I'm like, you know, one of the ways that you could always tell that you were running the Drudge Report is that all the links would go to Breitbart.
Right.
He would put him to his own site. And Breitbart back then wasn't the Breitbart that we know now. Breitbart was an AP aggregator, an Associated mm-hmm. Press aggregator, that would just automatically publish Associated Press stories as they came out. Kind of, mm-hmm. he didn't have to do anything with mm-hmm. it. So he would link to his Associated Press thing, have a bunch of ads on the thing, you know, get a million page views and make himself, mm-hmm. you know, $600, $700, $800 just for doing that, in addition to what Matt Drudge was paying him.
Right.
So he would do that. Well, last year, around October, August of this year, this website, DNYUZ.com, started having a bunch of things. And what they are is, they're basically a plagiarizer. They would take our stories. If I wrote a story at The Blaze and it was good, they would take it, put it up on their website, put my byline on it and say The Blaze and think that was legal. They're run out of Armenia, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Drudge Report was sending links to that website, right? So that was where a lot of their links were going. And I'm thinking back in my Andrew Breitbart conversation that, you know, maybe somebody in Armenia is running the website, right? Because they're sending it to this thing. And this Rosen over at Tablet did a lot of digging, and this DYNUZ shares what he calls 13 common identifiers with RefDesk and the Drudge Report for their ad network, which this Margaret and Adrian Otto apparently own. In October of 2019, Drudge had an ad network for a long time that he changed, and he went with one run by the Ottos, or the website went with one run by the office.
And the Drudge Report seems to be the only one of the only clients of this.
There's like six clients.
Yeah.
Right. There's a couple of conservative clients, Refdesk, this DYNUZ, and Drudge. So, I mean, you're putting it together. Does this mean that Drudge sold to the autos, or does this mean that he's got somebody running it? Right. They're running it for him, and he's collecting money.
But you would think that he would see it. I mean, they've destroyed the Drudge Report. Whatever's happening has destroyed.
40 to 50% down year over year. In an election year, he had a 50%. I mean, we did not have a 50% decrease as we talk, right?
On our
web traffic, and that's even with, you know, some of the social media companies trying to throttle you and do that kind of stuff. We saw an increase, but you know, it's really interesting when you take a look at it. I'm not 100% convinced. I mean, the easy answer is George Soros bought the Drudge Report and has turned it into a left wing progressive haven, right?
That would be a conspiracy theory.
But that's like, that's the easy answer, right? That's what everybody talks about, my friends in conservative media. But it's open, like we talked about with Conservative Review, it's opened up. I mean, you could never go against Drudge, right? There was nothing. I mean, I was so addicted to Drudge since like 98 that I would look at Drudge probably about 150 times a day. I mean, it was like my dad used to scream at me when I come home for Christmas, why are you putting that Drudge Report on my computer again? Mm. Like that was like the kind of stuff that would, like, that's how addicted to the Drudge Report I was.
I mean, up until maybe 2 months ago, I would still check the Drudge Report every day, at least once a day. I'm going through my show prep and I would just check it until it just got to the point where, like, I don't believe any of this stuff. I mean, first of all, it's either against everything that I believe, or it's from crazy ass sites that you're like, what is this?
Right. And the other thing, I mean, another data point that may show that Drudge isn't running this is, you know that he had this weird, almost a fetish with natural disasters.
Oh, yeah.
And like you get a hurricane coming and it would be like the top story for a week.
Yeah.
Barely nothing. I mean, it had like the track stuff that he always used to put on because I think they know that that's what he used to do. There was an earthquake yesterday in California. It was not on the Drudge Report, right? I mean, every little earthquake anywhere in the world that was like above five would be on the Drudge Report. And he has like a link to it.
Is it possible that he's being held in some basement in Germany by, I don't know, Marxist Nazis? He's disappeared.
I mean, he was always reclusive.
Right? I know. But now he's just like gone.
He was always reclusive. So
that's a bad thing about being a recluse is you can be dead someplace and everybody will just think, as long as somebody's carrying on your stuff, he's still alive. I mean, he could be, you know, he could have been killed by George Soros on the back of that yacht that we've been talking about a long time.
Right.
No, I mean, he something could have happened to him or whatever, and nobody really knows.
There's something charming about just cashing out, just living your life and not caring about this craziness anymore. It's just like when you're essentially bringing in thousands and millions of conservatives every day and they're being fed this craziness. Yeah. It's hard to get excited about that.
I think a lot of people have gone away. I mean, our friend Dan Bongino also has a site, The Bongino Report, a lot of people have gone to. And even Fox News got into the game. They've got this site, K News, where it's an aggregation of a bunch of different stories. They actually do it really well. And it's owned by News Corp. It's not owned by Fox News, but it gets like no traffic. But it's there. I know that I've used it as a really good resource.
There's another one that I think is really good. It's called spinquark.com. Horrible name, but spinquark.com is very, I think better than Drudge ever was.
Run by the Ferengis?
Pardon me?
Run by the Ferengis Corp.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Thank you, Rob. I appreciate it. And again, conservativereview.com. You can check. It is very Drudge-like in its way. Another family member of Blaze Media. You know, Rob, I want you to stay in just real quick. One more thing. We're losing. What's his name? Ajit Pai?
Yeah.
He is the greatest FCC guy I think we've ever had.
Yeah.
Ever. He's amazing. He stopped net neutrality, shows that that was all bull crap. But we're going back to net neutrality. And with the social media stifling everyone, what do you think is coming our way?
I think you're going to see net neutrality. Of course, the left tries to say that net neutrality is, oh, we're just going to let everybody have equal access so that you know, Comcast can't stop you from going to see a website or pay for other people to go see a website, which is absolute bunk. I mean, we have 5G. We've got Elon Musk is going to be beaming you down the internet from space within like 4 years, right?
I know. It's crazy.
So there's all kinds of alternatives. Your phone is going to be as fast as your broadband connection. There's no reason to do it. They want control. The left wants control of information, and they can get control of information by saying in a very 1984 speak, you know, newspeak way, oh, we're giving it neutrality and everybody can watch it. And they really get their base riled up about this. It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. But you really have to be
uninformed and stupid if you believe it. If you know it's about power and you're for it, well, I at least understand you. But if you believe that net neutrality is really about neutrality, at this point, you're an idiot.
You're absolutely right. It's about control of the information we see. The other things that scare me more than net neutrality are taking shows like this and calling them election.
Yeah.
Nearing, right? Is that, you know, is the Blaze under the Biden administration going to have to register with the FEC as an electioneering arm? You know, there's things like that. These people.
We would be the concern, not CNN.
Right.
We would be the concern.
Right. Oh, they're middle of the road.
Right? Jeez.
But that's the sort of stuff that I'm also afraid of. I think that if we hold the Senate, a lot of that stuff doesn't happen, obviously, because you're supposed to need, you know, congressional authority to do it. But we've seen that you really don't. But I think that those are the sorts of things that concern me. The sort of stuff that Dianne Feinstein's wanted to do in the past, where, you know, we'll give you a license to be a reporter. Not only needing a license to be a gun, but, you know, in order to be like indemnified and be protected from prosecution, you know, we're going to give like licenses for reporters. And I have friends that actually believe that should happen.
Oh, I had Ted Koppel lecture me about that we need a license so not any Yahoo can go out and say. I said, really? Who will issue those licenses, Ted? Well, we will. I mean, there will be a panel of experts. Oh, a panel of experts. I mean, that is so anti-First Amendment. I don't even begin to understand it.
Yeah, but these are the same people that think that the First Amendment is a protection against religion, not for religion.
Correct.
That think that the Second Amendment doesn't really exist and that you need a license to have a gun. These are folks that don't believe that the Constitution means anything.
Right. I love somebody sent me a deal of the Second Amendment, said, you know, the founders, they had muskets. Okay. So let's acquire muskets for everybody and use it the way our founders would have. Somebody comes into your house, you blow a hole through them with the first bullet. You might miss. So you have to use the bayonet on the end. You stab them. Maybe if you have another gun, that one's loaded, you can hit them with that. And then they can probably die from infection. Whether you shot to kill them or not, they're most likely going to die from infection or internal bleedings because the little triangle of the bayonet that they used back then was made to just tear you up and not be able to repair it. So, okay, let's do that. Idiots. Na, na, na.